Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Higher Power Tech Podcast. Today, I have an amazing guest, and I'm so happy and honored to be able to share this platform with him. You saw his sibling in the earlier parts of our podcast, Joaquin, but this is my cousin, Billy Komar. William Komar, it depends on how you want to call him.
he just kidding me, man. I'm a kid again.
Right. Nah, I call him Billy, but yeah. William Komar, who is a fantastic brother, biochemist working here in beautiful Switzerland. If you did not know, we have the Swiss Alps behind us. We're in his hometown, his home country now, with him and his beautiful family. But today we want to talk about just the process of being a complete individual through your processes of your career path, your growth, development. We all have our way of trying to reach our excellence, and it may not look pretty at times, and most of the time it doesn't look pretty, right?
It's been ugly for a little bit, yeah.
Right, but at the same token, that ugliness turns into something so beautiful. Beautiful, and his family, gorgeous, and we're going to get into all this in a moment. So today we're just going to discuss a little bit about, you know, I know we're primarily here on this podcast, we talk about IT, data scientists, machine learning, our data, you know, all that, but biochemist is still technology. It's permeating technology in such a way that a lot of you don't know, and he will expound on all that here shortly. But I want you to understand that individuals like himself with a PhD. I'm actually sitting next to a doctor, literally a doctor and PhD in biochemistry. He'll go into all his specificity shortly. But I want you to understand it all merges together, but you have to be human and you have to be able to work through your own insecurities, your fears, your struggles in order to be a doctor, in order to be at the point of what you want to be. So let's do this. William, if you can, let's tell people a little bit about your backstory as to, you know, where you grew up, what got you into the profession you're into, what was the impetus, the spark, and then kind of what your actual specificity is in your career. Okay, so I'll give you the platform. You talk.
All right. Well, y'all are going to deal with me for a little bit. Like you were saying, so this is my cousin. I was born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio. That's where my whole family still is actually located, mm-hmm. back in Ohio. And as a child, one of the first things that I ever asked for from my parents was a book on the human body. Mm. So I don't know what brought this about. I don't know. I don't have like a reason or anything. I always thought that, oh man, the human body was super dope, right? Yeah. So I asked my mother, I said, can I get a book on the human body? Okay. And so she was a little skeptical about it, but she went ahead and bought me this book with, it's like transparencies. So as you open the book, every page was a different layer of the human body. Okay. So you could see through like how the whole book, when you close it, you could see the whole body, mm-hmm. you know, and you could see layer by layer by layer. And that was something that like from the beginning, I always thought that this was just incredible, mm. right? And so, you know, she would do things because I would ask her. I'd say, "Hey, can we watch TLC?"
Yeah,
nobody watched TLC, bro. But I'm like, let's watch TLC. And TLC used to have live surgeries
right.
on TLC in the evening, so towards like you know that 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. And so we would watch. And I guess she saw that. And so she helped cultivate that. Okay. She was like, okay, so you want a body or you want a book on the human body. You want to watch surgery, live surgery on TLC. And so my want was always to become a surgeon.
Okay.
That's always what I wanted. I wanted to become a doctor, a medical doctor. And so that was like the plan. I was always good in science, mathematics, you know, that's my thing.
Yeah, that's your wheelhouse. So, that is his wheelhouse. And by the way, my aunt, which is his mother, yeah. Educator. So, I mean, math teacher. Yeah. So again, it kind of came a little, you know, organically, you know, from, but at the same token, you just having that out of nowhere, that inkling to just want to go into physiology and understand right. the body and all that. So, okay, that's beautiful. So continue.
So we went into that, and she helped, you know, whatever it was, whether it was special programs over the summer where I would go for, you know, 3-4 weeks mm-hmm. to these big schools like, I guess we don't have to mention, but university schools, right? Yes, so yes, sir, we would yes, go sir. To their main campus and go hang out there. And that's where I spent my summers is learning.
Okay.
You know, where most people think like, oh man, I got summer school. I was like, oh, I get to go here and go like, you know, take all these extra classes. So
I always tease them, nerd. But
I tease them. 1,000%, man. And it's cool.
But no, it's fantastic yeah. because keep going because you're right. But his passion for it, because that's yeah. where he actually thrives. So continue.
Yeah. So that's what it was, man. And I was, you know, so I knew that I wanted to go into medicine.
Yeah.
Right. And so just to forewarn you guys, I'm not a medical doctor. I have a PhD. It's a little different.
Right.
I always wanted to go into medicine. And so I was also, though, a little lazy in high school, just a little bit, because education, like to me, everything in class came easy.
Easy, yeah.
It was, you know, I sit in class, I hear it once, I got it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I need to hear was once, and it was done. So I never really studied going through high school and things like that. And so when it came time to applying for colleges, I was late. It was already December of my senior year, and I hadn't applied to a college yet. Yeah. So, and everyone else is like, oh, I got my pennant for the school I'm attending. Right. I'm like, oh, shoot. Y'all applied? Like, oh, no, man. So I was actually playing NCAA football in 2003.
Yeah.
And I had a tournament at my house, double elimination. That year I played with Oregon. Oregon was my squad.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So I played with Oregon and I ended up losing my first game. And I don't lose. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't lose on the stick.
That competitive nature. Yeah.
So I lost. And to make it worse, my mother was like, oh, hey, I thought you were good at this game.
Oh, so she had a few of the yeah, stars. So She gaslit.
Hold on a second.
She gaslit.
So since it was double elimination,
this is my daughter. We have a guest in the shot. Yeah, this is his beautiful daughter.
So
you want to say hi, babe?
Go ahead.
Oh, she's like,
she wants to walk by.
Right.
So since it was double elimination, I was like, I need to pick a second team.
Yes, sir.
And the second team at that time was number 9 on the game, I think, and it was LSU.
Okay.
So I played with LSU, I came back, I won the tournament, and from there, I was just randomly like, I'm going to apply to school here. And all my buddies are like, really? So from a video game, you're going to pick your school?
I didn't know that. That's why how you chose LSU.
That's how I chose.
Okay.
That's
literally all right. How I chose. So video game, see? So gamers, my parents out there who let the kids game, like you made your right. They may choose a college that's actually a prominent college and a quality college. So that's a good job. Okay.
See? So
you chose off of the game.
So I chose LSU because of the game, and they accepted me. So at the same time, I also had to apply like to other schools, right? So I applied to Ohio State. I wanted to apply to Hawaii, but my mother said it's too far.
Too far, yeah.
And I mean, we couldn't afford it, so it's all good. But I applied to Ohio State. I got accepted to Ohio State. I picked out my dorm room at Ohio State, like paid my deposit, everything.
Yeah.
And then LSU hit the line, and they're like, hey, if you come to LSU, we'll waive your out-of-state fee.
Huh.
And I mean, I had the grades.
Yes, you did.
At that time, LSU's out-of-state fee was still cheaper than Ohio State's in-state.
Yeah, in-state, yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I was like, all right, if you're going to waive it, like, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool with me. So I was like, you know what? Yeah, I accept it. Mm-hmm. And my mother's like, okay, so they sent this letter late. You realize you have 2 weeks to get to school.
Mm.
And I was like, yeah. And she was like, okay, well, let's figure it out. Let's do it.
Right.
And so she was down from the jump, man. And that same time, that week that we decided, okay, I'm going to go, her old car broke down.
Oh, wow.
So she bought a brand new car that weekend.
Okay.
We packed up everything. And then the following week, we hit the road. Mm-hmm. So me, her, and my aunt, we hit the road. My mother drove 17 hours straight We got to Baton Rouge. So from Ohio all the way down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I've never been to Louisiana. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anything. I didn't know anything about
it. Right.
Oh, I just went. And I picked my dorm room because it was online.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's the only male-female dorm room? Because I didn't want to stay in a dorm room with a bunch of dudes. So I was like, in my head, I was planning, you know?
Right, like you're trying to.
So I'm like, how can I finesse this?
Right.
And I found this dorm room, and it happened to be like one of the oldest dorms on campus.
Okay.
They actually tore it down the year after we left the dorm. So it was, half of it was actually deemed uninhabitable.
Wow.
It was old, bro.
Wow.
It was old, bro. So.
But was it co-ed or was it?
It was co-ed. Okay. It's co-ed by floor. Okay. So.
All right.
So.
We're cousins. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were definitely family. So, you know, same last name. So
I was on the sixth floor. Okay. I was on the sixth floor. Let's go.
Is that how y'all rent it?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I think I just made that up. Yeah, let's go though. You know, 3-3-6. I mean, we got it. But yeah, so I got to LSU and then things just started from there, you know, just meeting people, meeting friends. Cause I was always, I told you, like, I never studied.
Right.
But I played football, baseball, wrestling growing up my whole life. So I had my group of buddies from every sport, but I never really was like, oh, okay, I'm a, hit the road and go like party like too often. So I had, you know, our quarterback who's like, hey, in high school, our quarterback's like, hey, let's go do this.
Okay.
So I would venture out with him. Got and then my wrestling buddies were like, hey, let's go do this. So I'd venture out, but I never really was like, I never really made the moves to go do things.
Right.
And so we got to LSU and the first night at LSU, I met my RA and my mother, first of all, is walking around knocking on doors. She's saying, hey, you got to come meet my son, Billy D. Like, he's great. You got to come meet my son, Billy D. I'm like, yo, I will never have friends, bro, if you don't stop doing that. Like, come on, man. Like, you can't do this to me.
Like, auntie was like, and she, so, that sounds like her.
That's her, man. To
that's her team. MO.
So she's like, you got to come meet my son. You got to come meet my son. Actually, y'all just met my daughter already.
Right.
This is my son.
This is your son. Yeah.
So it's like, oh man. So, you know, she did that, and I met my RA. My RA took me out that night. He was like, "Hey, we're gonna go to a party. You want to go to this party? Like, come with us." And so he introduced me that night as, "Hey, this is Dr. Bill. He's planning on going to school for pre-med, you know."
He introduced you as Dr. Bill.
He introduced me as
Dr. Bill. You're not a doctor yet.
He said, this is Dr. Bill. Would you guys like to meet Dr. Bill? And this one dude, Steven, he was like, just this ultimately like cool cat, right? And he's like, nah, Dr. Bill takes way too long to say. Your name is Doc. And that's how I got my nickname at LSU for Doc.
Nice.
And so that whole time at LSU, you know, it's just I'm with all these people. Everyone only knows me as Doc. Most people don't even know my real name is William.
Mm.
I'm kicking it with them. I'm chilling. And then every time I go to a new place, you know, I get this feeling or the thought that you can literally be whomever you want when you go to a new spot.
Okay.
Right? So you grow up one way, but if you've always wanted to be different, if you always thought about like trying something else out, when you go to a new place, you can literally be who you want because no one knows you.
Okay.
And so at LSU, I was like, you know what? I don't want to be quiet and reserved and you know, like to myself. Like I want to be the face.
Yeah.
I want to be that person.
Yeah.
You know, like that dude that people just know.
Yeah.
And so I changed my MO and so I lived as Doc.
Okay.
You know, and so I was out. I was, hey, let's go to this party. Let's go to that party. Let's, we want to drive 6 hours to Alabama on a whim to go watch LSU beat Alabama. Okay. Cause I don't like Alabama. Sorry. I got a little emotional. Spicy.
Yeah, I see that. Spicy, you got a little aggressive right there. It's okay. Which is fine. But let me say this. And let me just piggyback off of that. I think you brought up a very good point. ladies and gentlemen, we talk about in this platform the full holistic approach to your career development, your growth, but also making sure you take care of yourself. And I think, you know, also too, the importance of putting yourself in a proper environment. Mm-hmm. You know, and it sounds like you put yourself in a proper environment, no matter how you kind of get there, whether it be through gaming and you feel like that's the location you want to go to, and then your mother sacrifices and, you know, takes you and goes and, you know, all that stuff. But once he got there to LSU, what you heard him say going forward, it's the environment a lot of times that we cultivate. And it's important for you to cultivate a proper environment for yourself that will allow you to be the best of yourself and explore those elements of you that you want to pursue. Even if you don't necessarily know what that is at that moment in time, it's important for you to do that. And that's what it sounded like you did for yourself.
Yeah,
and you
exactly.
said, okay, like, when I got there, I want to see, okay, now I'm Doc. You know, but you knew you were Doc, but it was being in that environment that pulled that, extracted that out of you, right? And I think so. Ladies and gentlemen, don't stop because your current paradigm or your current situation might not be what you think it is supposed to be. Keep on pursuing that environment that's going to allow you to be more of yourself. So that means pivoting into a new career, do that. Because if you pivot into a new career, you might get surrounded by those who will help encourage you to bring out that extra side of you that you're looking to explore, right? All right. So say that. So let's continue though with your journey though.
Yeah. So I was at LSU and I was out there just as much as I could. I was doing everything, man. But the thing is as you mentioned, you put yourself in these situations in order to cultivate and to grow. But I was putting myself way too far out there.
Okay.
So instead of actually doing something that was beneficial, it was more hurting myself. So I was out every day, like partying, having fun, doing these things. And I forgot, I went to school to learn. Like I didn't go to school to party.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so I ended up losing track of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went from in high school having a 3.85 or something GPA. To at LSU, I had a 1.6.
Okay.
I think.
Okay. So
my GPA went, nah, bro. Like it just went, as I drove south, my GPA went south.
Yeah. So I drove south, like, my GPA went south.
I was like, oh, geez. Like, yeah. So.
Well, you were trying to find yourself though, right?
Because you
got exposed to what you could be. Mm-hmm. But now is that you didn't have any structure to knowing how to be that.
Right.
And so now you're trying to figure out what that is. And in that, you jumped off the cliff to say, I'm a sore, and you're falling, you know, at that moment. But that's part of the process, right? Any eagle or any bird that tries to learn how to fly, they drop
first. They jump out first and then they, you know.
Right.
They hope they catch wind. Man.
Right. So. But you're not going to catch it right away. Yeah. So let me ask you this. What was the process once you partying and you feel, what was the process to realizing, okay, this is not the track? What's the process?
So the process from there is LSU sent me a really nice letter asking me to kindly stop attending.
Kind.
Yeah. They said, please stop attending our university.
Could you please stop representing us?
Yeah, yeah. So you know, after that,
kindly.
Like, it was like, okay, so I got to figure this out, right? And so I was like, all right, maybe I'll do the community college route.
Okay.
So I had already did 4.5 years at LSU, shouldn't have graduated, didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I'm taking community college classes.
Okay.
That unfortunately I couldn't afford even community college.
Right.
And so,
but you're young, you're a student still. Like you're a student, and not in the workforce. So yeah. So how can you afford any of it? How can we afford any of the U.S. schools?
Like
no,
bro. I couldn't afford it.
Right.
So what was cool though? Quick little side story is the professor of the statistics course that I was taking, he's like, hey, you, I was looking and your enrollment got dropped. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I know, I can't afford to take the course. He said, look, come to class anyways, finish doing your thing.
Yeah.
And when you're done, if you sign up for the class again and pay for the class, I'll just give you the grade that you already earned.
Mm.
And I was like, all right, cool. So I earned one, like, honestly, it was 100% throughout the course because math is my thing.
That's your thing.
So
yes,
this is easy. Yeah. But I never actually paid for the course. So I got a free statistics course, man, like free stats. So that's cool, man. That's a one up for us. Like, let's go.
This guy.
But yeah, so I was in that mode, right? Yeah. I was trying to figure out, like, what do I do?
Yeah.
I was dating a young lady at the time who was getting ready to leave from LSU and go back to her home country.
Okay.
All my buddies were graduating, and I was still just there.
Okay.
I was stuck, right? And I was working at this, like, I was selling credit card terminals. Business to business. So I go business to business, knock, boom, boom, walk in your business. I would say, how about you let me take a look at your credit card transactions and the costs, and I'll tell you how much I could save you over a year's time.
Wow.
And so, you know, people were like, I don't know why I'm trusting you, but I will. So they would go get me their slips. I'd look through, add up everything, tell them what they would save over a year with this new credit card terminal.
Mm-hmm.
And people were buying credit card terminals for me. That was it. People were doing that.
So that's how you're paying the bills as far as trying to get that.
That's how I was paying. Like
getting things across.
It wasn't bills, I was paying at least something because at this point, I was technically homeless.
Right.
And the company that I was working for selling credit card terminals, the owner or whatever of the company was letting me rent out a room in his house.
Okay.
And I couldn't afford, like, actual furniture or anything like that. So I was living on a futon, like, mattress topper on the floor in his house. And all my clothes were in a suitcase. And I was just like, and I had my car, which my parents had bought for me, right? So,
because you're 20, I'll be honest, you're 20 what?
At this time,
23.
Yeah, I was about 23. 22, 23.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, my parents bought the car for me.
Yeah.
And so I'm, this is where I'm like, man, like, all my friends are graduating.
Mm-hmm.
The girl I was dating is going back.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that was pretty much going to end. I was like, I got nothing. And I'm sleeping on this floor, man. Like, this really ain't it.
Yeah.
Dude, it's not it. And,
and
so my car, of course, the last thing that I had that, like, was me, my car was giving me fits. So I'm like, I need to go to AutoZone. I need to go check this out real quick. So I go to the shop, and this guy's looking at my car, and I'm on the phone with my parents. And I'm just like, hey, man, you know, like, everything's cool, man.
Trying not to.
So here I am now, man, like a grown man, and I am crying, bro. And I'm like walking up and down the front of AutoZone on the phone, crying to my parents, like, I can't. I've tried, but I'm losing right now, man. Like, I'm losing.
Yeah.
And
it's real.
And so my parents get on the phone. My dad's like, son, why are you crying? I was like, dad, because, man, like, it's just not working. He says, son, why are you crying? I said, well, because he goes, you called home because you had an issue. So you called the people that you needed to call and talk to. We're here. Mm. Can we not take care of this?
Mm.
And I was like, yeah, yes, you can. He said, how about this, son? I send you money. We get the car fixed and you come home. And I was like, yeah, please. And my mom got on the phone. She said, hey, look. You tried.
Yeah.
It's not working. And, you know, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But you're an adult now. So now's the time that we go and we fix it. So do it like you said. Your dad said, come home. Let us help you fix it.
Mm.
And honestly, it was one of the best things ever. You know, like knowing that my family is constantly there. And can help me and can do these things. You and I haven't talked for years. Mm-hmm. You hit me up, said I would be in town, and without hesitation, I said,
yeah,
come through.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's what family is to me. That's the way that we were raised.
Yes, sir.
You know, and that's just, you know, what my parents embodied and I embodied.
Yes, sir.
So my family was like, come home. So I packed up that week and I drove back from Louisiana to Ohio, and then we got started. We were like, what do we need to do to be successful?
Yeah.
I got a job. So I was working at a sports store for a while. Okay. I walked in, saw an old, it was one of my brother's friend's dads who owned the store.
Okay.
And I walked in, I was like, oh, I didn't know that you were the owner here. I was like, I'm back from college and I could really use some work. He goes, okay, cool. Do you want to start Monday? Like, that was our conversation.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, do I need to interview? He goes, no, like, I already know you.
I already know you. You're good to go.
Do you want to start Monday? I was like, yes, yes.
Like, don't overtalk. Just answer the question I'm asking you.
Yeah. So he hooked it up. So, you know, I had a job and I started working there. I think I was working there for about 2 years.
Okay.
And in that time, I was like, okay, now it's time to get back to business, right? Like, I can't let me have started an undergrad, like, you know, like this tenureship in undergrad and just end it and not having finished it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, I need to get back to school. So I applied to Kent State, John Carroll, and the University of Akron.
Okay.
John Carroll, rightfully so, said no. It's a private school, so I understand.
Right.
They said no. Kent State, though, like, told me no as well.
Like, how dare you?
And I'm like, bro, y'all are, do you know what we say? Can't read, can't write, can't play sports, Kent State, okay? And you have the audacity to tell me no? Like, bro, like, really? So they said, nah. So I was like, all right, man, F y'all too.
Right.
And the University of Akron was like, we'll take you on academic probation.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, all I need is a chance.
Okay.
So someone take a chance on me, please.
Yes.
I got back in school at the University of Akron.
Okay.
And for the first time, I had a counselor that actually counseled me. So all that time at LSU, and I love LSU with all my heart.
Absolutely.
But every time I would go to a counselor there, I was just a number, right? So they were like, you need this. But your schedule says this. Yeah, sure. Go with this. Because, like, that was it.
Yeah.
You know? But at U Akron, it was the first time. And this dude, man, oh, my God. It was the best thing for me. He said, okay, look, where are you coming from? I said, LSU.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm coming to Akron. He goes, why are you here? I was like, because I messed up.
Yeah.
And so now I'm trying to fix things, right? And he was like, okay, so let me tell you what you need to do. You need to go to a tutor you need to go to a tutor once a week.
Okay.
At least once a week. This is the conditions for academic probation. So you got to go to a tutor once a week, and you need to report in monthly with me to let me know how things are going.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, cool. I can do that. And so instead of once a week, I was seeing a tutor twice a week. So I was like, you know what? Once a week's not enough. Right. So I need to redo this. I need to make sure that I'm doing my thing.
Okay.
And so the course that I needed a tutor in at LSU, I took this class 3 times, technically.
Mm-hmm.
I took it. I failed.
Okay.
I took it again. I withdrew. I took it a third time with the same professor, all the notes and everything, and I got a D.
Wow.
For that time, man, I was a dummy, bro.
You're trying to get back into it. You're trying to get your rhythm back.
But this was the process. Yeah, so this was at LSU, right? All these failures.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, all right. So now I had to retake this course because I wanted to continue with biochemistry.
Okay.
So I had to retake this course at Akron.
Yeah.
They said, you need to take this. So I found my tutor. Twice a week, I'm going to see this tutor, man. And she was teaching me, like, boom, 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 boom. So I'm like, all right, this is great.
Mm.
I finished my first semester at the University of Akron, and I got a B in the course. So, and this is the course that I failed, withdrew, and got a D in.
Mm.
And once I finally, like, put my pride aside, got a tutor, and went to work, like, put my head down and went to work, I got a B in this course, right? So I'm like, holy crap. You're telling me I could have did this whole time? And I talked to my counselor. He says, all right, now tell me again. Because he asked me the same question. He said, what were you doing at LSU? I said, honestly, nothing. And he looks at me, and it's the first person that ever kept it real. He goes, don't ever do that again. And I was like, can you say that to me? Like a student? He's like, yes, I can, and I did. And I was like, holy hell, you're right. Like, I guess you're right, man. Like, he kept it real with me, and it was the greatest. Like, I'm so thankful for my counselor, man, like, getting me through this. We actually became, like, I guess, like, friends after this, because I used to check, like, hey, how's your son and baseball? You mm-hmm. know, like, how's your things going? Family. And, like, how are you? Person. You're about to retire right. now. Things like as a that. Person, so, right.
If I can, real quick, ladies and gentlemen, this is exactly why I wanted him to be on the show, because and be on the episodes with us and talking to you, because this is the real of life. This is exactly the process. You might be going through your career right now as, you know, a mid-level, you know, data scientist, and you are struggling, and you're like, well, should I go back and get an education or get a degree or get, you know, should I go back and get a boot camp? What you found or what you heard, it's a process to this. You know, we have this grandiose idea of what we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do when we get to certain levels, right? And then we get to that level, shit hits the fan. And you're like, oh, this is what it really is. And you might grow through that and be everything you want it to be. But most of us hit that level and say, oh, I'm just going to kind of coast. And in that coasting, like he did when he got to LSU, you find out, well, I'm just kind of like lost. And I'm trying to figure out my path. And I'm trying to figure out where I want to go. So then you have to step back and lean on others to help you. Like in his case, he had a beautiful family that was able to support him, but he reached out to ask. Some of you out here are trying to say, well, where do I reach out to, you know, to lean on something or lean on someone? Well, our podcast is why you're here, for one, but also two, go to constructive quality resources that will allow you to, you know, get that foundation that you need to catapult yourself back to where you're looking to achieve and looking to go. Once you do that, you still have to put in the work. You heard him say he locked in. Right. He went to, you know, University of Akron, right. And he locked in. He was able to find, you know, they always say when the student is seeking, they'll find the right teacher, right? You know, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what the overall phrase is saying. He found a counselor that actually could fit him and actually help him understand what he needed to do, but then he locked in still because he had to do the work. Mm-hmm. And once he did that, he realized, oh, I could have been doing this the whole time. So what we're trying to say is, guys, don't sit here and think just because you're struggling right now with your career, with your, you know, he's a father, as you see the kids are running through here, you're always going to have these moments where you feel like, damn, I should not be. Fuck that, I should not be. You're where you are, but at the same token, where you are, you can be better than that, but you have to lock in and do the right things. And that's what he did by seeking. You heard Kent State, Akron, and other, you know, John Carroll. He pursued other universities, but he found one that will work, right? So it's not stopping and saying, I'm just going to sit and just be in this mess, in this, you know, murky place that I don't understand. Pursue more and you'll get it, okay? So I just want to kind of share that because he's saying a lot right now in his journey, and he's condensing it in his short amount of time. Sorry. No, you're doing great. But I just want to make sure we are clear that we all have struggles to get to. Yes, we're able to call him doctor, and he is a actual doctor. He's getting ready to go into that part right now. But he had to go through his struggles to be able to get to that. But that's part of the process, and don't be afraid of it, but also lean into it. If you lean into it right, don't lean into it with the depression, don't lean into it with the fear or the woe is me or the self-pity. If you don't do that, like he did not do, he realized at a certain point, I got to get to it, and he did it. So I want to continue now from here. Thank you for letting me jump in real quick with that. Where you are now, or where you are at that particular juncture with your, you know, you realize, okay, I got to be in this class. I can do this. Yeah. Where are you moving now towards your continued progression?
So at this point, you know, I finished this course, which I will tell you guys, I after failing all these times and then retaking it, this is actually the course that I ended up teaching at another university.
Yes, sir.
So
yes,
I'll tell you all in a second.
Yeah.
So, but so yeah, so I had these struggles and I finally realized, like, okay, this is what I need to do to lock in.
Okay.
And as I was finishing up, I was taking a physical chemistry course.
Okay.
So PChem is what most people just, you know, quickly call it. And the professor of the course at the time was like, hey, have you thought about going to grad school? And I was like, no. I was like, my plan is to finally graduate.
Yes, sir.
Because it took me over 10 years to finish a 4-year degree.
Yes, sir.
I was like, my plan is just to graduate and I'm going to go get this job. And he was like, all right. I was like, yeah, I got an interview out in Chicago in like a week. I'm going to go hit this interview. I already know that I'm going to get this job. And then I'm going to start working.
Right.
And he was like, okay, but keep in mind that if you choose to go to grad school, that, that, you know, I would love to have you in my lab. So I was like, all right, yeah, sure. And so I went, I hit this interview and I came back, but in the same time, which I rocked this interview.
Of course, let's be honest.
But at the same time, my mother's like, hey, have you thought about grad school? I was like, no, why are you asking about grad school too? And then another professor was like, hey, have you thought about grad school? So I was kind of getting tired of it. And I was like, look, all right, enough of y'all are asking. I will apply and I'm only going to apply to one school. And if I get in, cool. If I don't, I'm going to go take this job in Chicago. And so, of course, I just applied to grad school at the University of Akron because I was already there.
Right.
And then, of course, I got accepted to it. So I was like, oh, shoot. Like, well, I told y'all I would if I got accepted.
Right.
So now I got to do this. Right. And yeah, I never knew in my head, you know, like my mother's educated, you know, things like that. But I saw it and I just thought that only gray haired, old white dudes had PhDs.
Respect, yeah.
That's what I thought
growing up. Right,
And when someone was like, no, like you can go to school and get a PhD, I was like, me, like, you know, this is who I am. You want me, I can get a PhD? They're like, yeah. And so I was like, okay. And so once I got accepted and I decided, all right, well, sure, let's do this. Let's do this 5-year program and get a PhD. And so I stuck with it. And I started my PhD in biochemistry with the first professor that said, go to grad school. I was working in his lab. And from there, it changed my life, man. It changed the outlook that I had on life.
Yeah.
You know, this dude was, he was this like, this, he was, when you think of Utah, like it was him.
Okay.
You know, it's just like button up shirt, like very prim and proper. Very nicest dude in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't drink coffee, right? And all these things, like just super proper Mormon.
Yeah, guy. Mormon. I was about to say Mormon, yeah.
And one of the first conversations we had, he says, hey, have you ever heard of this artist called Kendrick Lamar? And I was like, you've lost your mind, man. Hold on. What do you know about Kendrick? Like, come on.
K-Dot.
And he said, I was listening to his album, Good Kid, Mad City. And it's like he's telling a story.
Sword.
I was like, so you really like, because, I mean, if you listen
you
to
really
music, seen, most people listen to music, they hear a tune.
Right.
That's it.
But
they don't actually
pay. He was actually tuned in. Yeah.
So he was actually like.
Clocked in.
And I'm like, wow. Yeah, actually listening.
Yeah.
And so this is a real conversation we're about to have.
Okay.
And so I related with him, and that's what helped me through grad school. It's the fact that, like, I started seeing professors as real people at this point, which obviously they're real people. But when you're a student, these people are they're above you.
Mm.
And so your thought is that they're greater than life. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so,
or untouchable, or I can't relate.
And so I finally saw. I was like, okay, I see who you are.
Yes.
And I started seeing professors as who they were. And
I got to jump in right here. Thank you for sharing that. Again, because I appreciate sharing that from this level of academia, grow a PhD, pursuits of a higher level of education. Ladies and gentlemen, we talk about this so much. I try to share this with people. You have to get involved and you have to go through. Once you get involved, you understand that nothing is so distant or so unobtainable, right? Or so unrelatable. Because I know a lot of people, because we're coming from a tech conversation generally most of the time, right? We're talking to people right now who may not necessarily be in the tech world. They may be coming from a labor job and they're trying to get into, you know, understanding what coding is, right? Mm-hmm. That type of thing. And they're like, I can't do that because I see that and I don't understand that. You know, I can't even program my laptop or my iPhone properly, right? But once you get involved, you start to see, oh, there's commonality. Once you get involved, you see, oh, you're kind of just like me. You know, it's no difference here. And I love to hear you say when you got into the PhD courses and all that, and when you got into your professors, you saw that, okay, oh, you listen to KDOT. You know what KDOT means. You know what that is. That's not a foreign thing to say. Then you understand what the hip hop game really is, right? Yeah, and what, you know, conscious rap is and all that type of thing, right? But you realize, oh, just because your skin might be different or just because you're from a different part of the world doesn't mean that we don't have a commonality.
Right.
And so getting involved and actually getting intertwined and amalgamating oneself with something that you're not necessarily accustomed to or used to doesn't mean that you cannot find the uniqueness and the ability to grow within it and become one with it with others that you never would, you know, think that you would, right? So that is awesome. So thank you for sharing that from that dynamic and that perspective. Right. So, but continue. So after you realize he lives in the KDOT and all that stuff, and you are all kind of like the same, they're the regular people.
Yeah. After I realized this, you know, this is what helped me through the rest of grad school because I had that that imposter syndrome where it's like, am I supposed to be here? Are you sure? Like, I go to these conferences and people are explaining their projects. I'm like, I don't understand a single thing you're talking about.
And are you speaking English?
And we're in the same field. Like, are you sure this is real? And so, like, you know, I had that feeling, but he was also the same person. I was like, hey. What you know for your project, you know best. And I was like,
Say it again. Say that part again.
He said, what you know for your project, you know best.
Perfect.
And I was like,
perfect.
Yeah, you're right. Like, no one else is studying, you know, the dimerization of rhodopsin right now. Like, no one else is doing it. I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. This is what I've been working on for almost 5 years now. Mm. Like, okay, yeah, I guess you have a point. And I started seeing that. And I was like, oh, so these people that have been working on their project, of course they know it better than me. Because I've never looked at it. I've never even asked. I didn't even know it existed.
Right.
But when I talk about my project, I know it. I know the ins and outs of it.
And because, what was yours again?
I was studying the dimerization of the GPCRs in your eye. So we're looking at how they natively sit in order to better, you know, create drugs down the line and help with vision for things like macular degeneration and portions like that. That's what I was studying.
You said that so powerfully. I feel like we were studying together. Like we did that.
We did it as a collective. You know, because when I eat, we all eat, man.
But this is the beauty of, again, but you recognize that your uniqueness and what you knew, it doesn't detract from what you know.
Right.
And so often we look at everybody else's, you know, power where they are. And let me bring this closer to home for you who are listening. You're looking at someone who's earning $175,000 a year right now. And you're earning $75,000 a year right now. And you're in a beginner level position of a coding. And you're like, well, I can't get to that 180 because it's so far off. And my particular skill set is not good enough to be here. What you heard him say over this past 30, 40 minutes of talking is he worked on himself. But as he grew through his process, he was encountered with those who helped support him, but then also educated him on understanding. Be confident in what you know. Mm-hmm. And what you know, still deliver that to the fullest because everybody else is doing what they do well. But we look at so many other people and we say, well, they're here. And well, I can't be that. You're right. You can't be that because you're not them. But that doesn't mean you can't be the best of what you need to be. So I love hearing what you're saying. You realize what you said you were studying for 5 years, you know, the eyes and everything, you know, I can't say it because again, that's not my expertise, but you know it and you can deliver it well. And that's what you have mastered. And then you go out and you articulate that to the world and the universe and the powers that be. And they're like, okay, well, we didn't know that we need that, but now we know we need that because you articulate that and you exude that so well. right? So, and you said one thing, because we had an episode talking about imposter syndrome. Mm. We allow so often for this feeling of, because we can now label it over the past 5, 10, 15 years before, you know, we know what imposter syndrome was. But, you know, we allow this imposter syndrome to creep in. And that's why, this is exactly why I'm trying to express to you guys. And I just want to thank you for letting me jump in to make sure you're hearing this properly. Don't allow it to, by understanding your unique talents are your unique talents. No one can do what you do if you've been studying your craft and enveloped in your craft. You know your skill set. Go deliver that. Eventually, like he's doing and like he has been doing, if you heard, 10 years to get a degree, which is not a problem. That's actually not uncommon, and that to get the degree that he needed.
It is a long time though, man. I'm sorry, but that's on me. All right, continue.
But it's not uncommon. You know what I'm saying? And because he's humble, but and yet he's still driven, and he's a competitor, right? you know, for him that, yeah, but we all have that aspect of ourselves. But what the thing that I reason why I wanted you to talk to everybody is because so often when we don't hit that marker that we think we're supposed to hit, we quit. Mm-hmm. So many people do that. You didn't quit. You kept going. I don't want you to quit if you didn't feel like you hit a certain marker, or because you may have just got laid off, but that wasn't your fault, or because whatever it might be. A great book to read is Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. He talks about whatever is in your control, you control. What's not out of your control, you can't control, right? But he talks about the process. He has focused on doing the work and then allowing the guides that come along at different points, hearing what they're saying and then implementing what they're saying and then taking action after that. So just keep that in mind, guys, because I think what you said is very, very, very powerful. Yeah, you realize you're sitting at this conference, everybody's talking about certain things, but you're like, I don't know that. I didn't even know that was a thing to know. But the thing I know, I know. So now let me go do that thing and let me do it well. So as you continue doing that thing and doing it well, where did that take you to in your career?
So from that point, you know, like once I was graduating and I crossed the stage and, you know, I got hooded, it was so real to me, man. Like at that moment, I was like, hey, when I get up there and they walk, because your professor normally hoods you, I tell them, I said, bro, I might hug you, man.
Yeah.
Like, really? And he's like, I just, whatever you do, because he's soft-spoken dude. He said, well, okay, whatever you do, just don't drop me off the stage. And I was like, yeah, man. I was like, no, I'm not going to drop you off the stage. So, but of course I went and bear hugged him and I picked him up. And I probably shouldn't. I love you, Dr. Smith. Thank you, brother. And so, that's my guy, man. So from there, I was like, okay, so now I'm graduating.
Yeah.
It's time to make some moves, man. Cause I feel like, you know, I've been in school for forever. I was away, you know, from Ohio to Louisiana, then Louisiana back to Akron. But in this time, I was actually passing, seeing my brother, like, very briefly.
Okay.
So my younger brother, whom you had on the podcast mm-hmm. before, in that time for me, like, you know, trying to figure out who I was, what direction I was going with for school, I missed him growing up. Mm-hmm. And so he's 7 years younger than me, and I missed a lot. And so I was like, man, I need to find a way to like build this relationship back with my younger brother. And so at this point, he was living in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And so I was sitting there talking to my parents. I was like, yo, I think when I graduate that I should move to Arizona mm-hmm. and be closer to Akeem.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother's like, do that. Go be close to him. Go help him. Go guide him. You know, obviously let him make his decisions,
right.
But be there to offer him advice and to help. And I was like, you know what? Okay, yeah, I can do that. Mm. So I packed up everything again.
Uh-huh.
And now I drove over to Arizona.
Okay.
So moved out there in like June because I graduated in May.
Okay.
So like, you know, a couple weeks, I'm gone. I hit Arizona. Now I'm here living with my younger brother. But the problem is I forgot I need a job.
I got to make some money.
so for that first, like, oh, man, what's it like? 3 months, I think it was 3 months.
Yeah.
living with my brother. We were staying in this one bedroom apartment.
One bedroom, okay.
There's a one bedroom apartment because he was already established. And it was just him.
Yeah.
He didn't need multiple bedrooms.
Okay. Right? Yeah.
So I'm staying in this one bedroom apartment. And my brother was like, okay, I'll sleep on the couch. You take the bed. And I was like, bro, I'm like, no, this is your house. Yeah. Like, I'll sleep on the couch. He says, no. You need a bed. So you stay on the bed. I'll sleep on the couch. So we made this switch. I'm like, this is odd, but I appreciate it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, you know, for your younger brother to care for you, one, that's like, dang, okay. Like, I'm not big bro at the moment, man, because I'm staying in my brother's place. Like, he's the only one between the two of us that has a job at the moment. Like, something's got to shake real quick, you know? And so started, you know, obviously filling out all these applications, and I got an offer from ASU to come on as a professor there.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, now we're in business.
Right.
So, you know, we move out of this one bedroom apartment. We get a proper two bed, two bath apartment. And I'm working now as a professor for the next, 3 years.
Okay.
So I'm there with my brother. And after about a year or so, you know, because I came to be closer to my younger brother so we could catch up. But he decides that he was going to move to like Thailand and like
travel the world.
You know, go travel the world.
Yeah, it was a travel the world.
Yeah, initially. Sorry. Yeah, yeah, so it was a travel the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, I came to be there with him. He kind of just shot out, but he's an adult, man. He can go do his thing. And I'm proud of him for having done that too, because that actually alludes to how I ended up here in Switzerland. So, you know, so now I'm working as a professor.
Okay.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
It's more money than what I was getting as a PhD student.
Okay.
As a PhD student, you get tuition remission and they pay you a stipend.
Okay.
Right. So I was only making $20,000. And I didn't have to pay for school, but I did have to pay fees, which were like, I think like $300 to $600.
Okay.
So that's it. So $20,000 was what I lived on for 5 years as a PhD.
Mm.
I get to ASU and I'm making $46,000.
Okay.
Yeah. So definitely still, and I hope I'm not like offending anyone, but like for me, like I wasn't making any kind of money, man.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, man, this stinks.
Not for the knowledge that you have just acquired.
Yeah,
you got $1 million worth of knowledge in your brain.
Yeah, I'm talking to freaking 1,000 students a semester.
Yes.
Like, bro, and I'm only making 46.
Yeah.
Like, this
real
stinks, man. And I met at this time, you know, just during at the beginning of COVID, January 2020. I was in Vegas for, you know, for New Year's,
mm-hmm.
With my buddies, and we were just enjoying ourselves.
Right, having fun.
What happens in Vegas?
Stays in Vegas.
All right. So we don't have to mention it, but it was a great time.
Great.
Yeah. Wow. Sorry. You can see like the bubble going back.
Reflection.
Yeah.
Let's continue past that part.
It's nothing. But, so yeah, I come back to Arizona, you know, and I meet my now wife, you know, and when we first met, I was like, man, like this woman, like she's special, bro, like she really is, and it took me.
By the way, I love their love. It's awesome. So continue.
It took me like 3 months, and I'm like, yeah, I'm in love.
Yeah,
plain and simple, I'm in love, bro, and. I was like, I can see myself marrying her.
Yeah.
Right. And so, but in my head, I'm like, I'm not, definitely not about to propose within a year.
Yeah.
Because for me, I needed at least a year of being with her and actually seeing who she is to know, like, okay, let's go ahead and get this thing done like the proper way.
Right.
Right. And also, I stand by this in COVID. You know how you have to like you're in home, right? You're supposed to be at home, not supposed to be with anybody else. Well, because we met just before this whole like shutdown started, I spent essentially that whole time with her. So in the beginning of most relationships, you do your thing, you know, work-wise, blah, 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 all week. And then you end up seeing that person on the weekend.
Right, right.
But because of how things were set up, we saw each other every day for that year.
Okay.
And so I think in my head, like one COVID year is like 3 years. Because that's a lot of time.
That's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely correct.
You got 52 weeks in a year. You got 2 days like on the weekend each time. And so for now, instead of just 2 days a week, I'm spending 7 days.
Yeah.
That's like, if you freaking the amount of time that's coming out, that's 3 years, three and a half almost.
Yeah, you're right.
And so, it's like, okay, like this is the person, this is my person.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, once we got married, she was always very supportive in my corner. Like, okay, so you're working, you're at this university, and this university, you know, is helping me pay for her schooling to, to finish school. So, yeah, you're welcome. So, yeah, man, you know, I did that, man, balling, throwing money out, sending my wife to college, man. Yeah.
How much you need here?
You know what? Here, go, baby, go to school. Okay. But it was one of those things. So she, you know, she was like, hey, look, if you're not happy, go do better. And I was like, yeah, I guess you're right. Like, it means nothing to sit here and complain about
and
something.
And there we have it, ladies and gentlemen. It's flipped just that quickly. Even though he's over here doing this, she was like, look, if you want more, do better. Like, just do more.
It's,
like,
and it's a plain and simple thing. And yeah,
that's just as powerful, even more powerful than this right here. So
it's,
continue.
It's oftentimes that people complain about situations or complain about, you know, oh, man, this doesn't work. Oh, man, this doesn't work. But then I think, well, what are you doing to change it?
Right.
And most of the times, the answer is nothing.
Nothing. Just talking and complaining and self-pity.
Yeah. So it's like, what is the complaining doing for you right now that's doing nothing? Like, take action.
Right.
Right? Me getting kicked out of school and being all sad and stuff. Okay, sure. Be sad for that moment. But now get to work.
Right.
And so it's like, yeah, you're right.
Take the moment to be aware of the sadness. Right. Cool. But now what's the action? What's the game plan?
That's it.
Okay, cool.
So I was like, all right, you're right. Let me get out of here. And so I found a place that took me in. I was working as the, you know, supervisor of molecular operations for a corporate lab. And so with that, it was different. Like, I got out of being at the university. I got into a real, like, an actually, like, nice paid position.
Okay.
Right. So this is the first time I've ever seen freaking, what is that? Seven? No, that's too many. It's like 5 years. No, so I was making over 100,000.
Okay.
And I was like, finally.
So you went from 46 to over 100.
I went from 46 to over 100.
Technically, you went from 20, 46 to 100.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're talking what? 3 or 4 years? 5 years? 5 years?
Yeah,
span?
About 5 years.
5 years span. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. Okay.
So it's like, man, like I'm finally, like, I'm doing this. Yeah. Like, okay. Like, I'm excited now. And so I'm making decent money. The company, I could see growth. I could see the potential for growth. Yeah. You know, people were like, hey, you're in this supervisor position, but what if now you shoot for this managerial role? And I was like, I guess I could. Like, I could see that.
Right.
And then I want to. So, yeah, sure. Why not pursue it? But this also happened to be the time that, so we had our daughter.
Uh-huh.
And then 13 months later, we had our son.
Okay.
And so now I'm at this lab. It's about a year and a half in. And with having two kids now, and my wife's like, okay, we're in Arizona. We have no family around us because my family is still back in Ohio.
And where's she from?
She's from Switzerland.
Okay.
So she's from here, where we are right now. All right. So she's like, I would love to move back to Switzerland to be closer to my family so I can have help.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? I can see that, but like, are you really sure? Because hey, I just got this job, and this job is fantastic.
Six figures. Like, we cooking now.
Like you know, we're moving the crumbs. She's like, I need that comfort.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, this is what you need to feel like, you know, complete.
Mm.
Who am I to stop that?
Mm.
And knowing my degree, like, I know that I can technically work anywhere.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, well, let's give it a shot. You know, so I'm applying to companies. I'm taking interviews online at like 1-2 in the morning because of the time difference.
Yeah.
And like with these interviews, people are like, yeah, you'd be great. You're fantastic. But unfortunately, like, you don't know enough German.
Right.
So this was what was hurting me.
Because you're trying to now apply for...
For jobs in Switzerland.
Yes. Okay.
So they're like, you don't know enough German. And one company, you know, I went on like 2 interviews with them and they asked, they said, if you come here, who would you have lunch with? Or who would you talk to during lunch? I'm like, in my American way of thinking, I'm like, bro, you hired me to do a job. Yeah. Like, you didn't hire me to make friends. Okay, if you're going to hire me, I'm going to come in, I'm gonna do my job, I'm going to do my thug dizzle.
Right. Make y'all money, make me money, let's move on.
That's it. And then during lunch, I'm going to sit quietly, I'm going to eat, and then I'm going to get back to my stuff.
Right. Man.
But, you know, it's something that, again, that it opened my mindset. Yes. So I was like, all right, I was thinking too narrow. When you go to these companies, like, it actually is okay to embrace the people around you, the culture around you. It makes work not feel like work.
Yeah.
Like, it's a comfortable setting.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I still didn't have a job by the time we actually moved out to Switzerland. We decided, like, let's just do it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, you know what? You're right. Nothing's keeping me here.
Right.
It's okay. My family takes 6 hours to come visit me from Ohio to Arizona. They can now take 8 to 10 hours to fly over to Switzerland. So I was like, all right, let's do it. So we make the move. We move out here to Switzerland. It took me 6 months to finally find a job. So during 6 months, I was a stay-at-home dad. And boy, do I empathize and sympathize. I want every stay-at-home parent to understand that if you say, like, oh, man, this is tough, or I'm tired, and if your partner does not understand, it is tough and it's tiring. You're with these same tiny humans that just steal from you your energy.
Talk about it.
Day in, talk day out. It. I now understand. I would never, ever, ever judge a person who decides that their job is to be a stay-at-home parent. That is a job. That's a 24-hour, 365 a day. Like, that's a job. So I get it. I did it for 6 months, and I almost decided we could just get rid of the kids, right? And
just, y'all want these?
You saw my children, so they're still here. It's the same two right. We started with,
okay? And they are gorgeous.
I promise, it's the same two. But yeah, that's so
real talk.
It's just, you know, finally I found that job. And it was decently far away, you know, as I'll tell y'all about that too. It was far away, but they decided that they would give me a shot.
Yes.
They give me the opportunity. So luckily for me, it's an English speaking company, even though they're all based in like Switzerland, Germany, you know, different people. We're all from different countries.
Right.
And we're together, this amalgamation, we're all together in this office for one common goal.
And just give the gist of what the common goal is.
The common goal is we are a diagnostic, we are a companion diagnostics company for cancer. And so essentially what it is these pathologists have already looked at different tissue samples, things like that. They have an idea of what they want to do as far as treatment for this cancer, but they really want to make sure. Typically, when doctors prescribe medicines for something they're unsure of, they give you a cocktail of it, and then they start weeding out what you don't need.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes time. And sometimes that time is something you don't have.
Right.
And so our job then is to take these samples and to really look at them and, you know, test them against our panel that we've developed. And then now to show, like, hey, you're on the right path. We think, because we're not certified medical doctors, right? But we think based on our findings that you should go this route with your diagnostics, right? And with your treatment. And this is what we're offering to, you know, these different pathologists and hospitals. Like, this is what we're offering now is like, hey, this is probably the best route you should take. And this is going to help speed up your diagnostics. It's going to help get this treatment to your patients faster, you know? And so this now, that time that people don't have, right, we're trying to help save as much of it as we can to help prolong and give them, you know, a comfortable, either, because sometimes, let's be real, like a comfortable rest of their life,
right,
or just a comfortable life.
Sinus, what's your position?
So I am the laboratory manager at Navignostics. I'm going to go ahead and shout it out, man, because those are my people. Let's ride. But
mine went out too. They're awesome. Awesome people. I had a chance to experience the organization. They're awesome. So you know, it's a powerful work. So thank you for what you're doing, what the company's doing.
Because
I know in this day and age, cancer being what it is, ravaging lives and ravaging families, you know, trying to have a institution and a company that's trying to do the best possible routes to treatment and the best treatment possible. Because we're also trying to figure it out, right?
Yeah.
And I think you guys are doing a great job of that. But you had to go through a process to get to this. And now, ladies and gentlemen, if you hear through all that, he has two beautiful kids. He's living in beautiful, what you see in the background. This is real. This is not a green screen. This is literally his home. This is literally where he resides. I'm here visiting him and his beautiful family. But it takes work. It takes diligence. It takes commitment. It takes consistency of effort and believing in yourself that you can achieve whatever it is you said you want to achieve for you. And now here he is helping others through his work to either have a comfort of life of living for whatever time they may have, or hopefully, you know, be able to make this a thing that's benign and not a situation. Right. So I just want to say this, and I think, is there anything else you want to share about your journey and your story before we wrap up?
Oh man, I'm just here. And honestly, I'm appreciative of where I'm at. And so I understand that it took some time, and I took the most non-direct route, you know, to get here. But I understand what that was, and I wouldn't change a single thing about it. I appreciate like the journey that I took, the path I took, and now like I'm doing what I do, and I'm happy with it.
I'm happy, and I love this young man as my, not only my family, but if he wasn't my family. I'm honored that he is my family. I really am. I'm humbled. I'm inspired by him, and I'm appreciative he is my family. But if he wasn't, I still would be the same, because the path that he took, but then the way in which he delivers himself on a day-to-day basis is exactly what we're trying to help others understand. That's why I wanted him here on this platform to talk to you and give you this information over the past 60 plus minutes to help you understand that it's always going to be unconventional. There's nothing conventional about anything that is done in life. The problem is that society and that systems have tried to tell us that there's a conventional way to get to what we want to achieve. And there's no fucking such real thing. The thing is you being pure to who you are and working through your process, but being willing to work through your process and then apply what you've learned. And that's what he's done. That's what he's doing. So I just want to encourage you all. I hope, you know, William Billy Comars, I say Billy because it's my cousin, but William Comars' delivery of his life and authentically who he is, authentically what he's been able to build and still continuing to build, because this is not it. He's still a very young man. So
we're still moving and grooving.
Right. He's still moving and grooving. Yeah. He's a few years younger than me. So he's just really getting into the beginning of his excellence. But he's tapping into it now. And so I'm excited to bring this to you guys. If you have questions, if you have comments, please make sure you give it to us here at Higher Power Tech. But I always want to bring you quality, real life stories that are fucking real life, man. You can do this wherever you think you are right now. Don't base off who you're going to be, based off of what you are right now. You can be so much more. And if he's not evident, if you can't see by this picturesque background right now that we're living in, this freaking storybook, as you see it from this, it doesn't even give it the full essence of it. It's probably about 40% of what the real impact of this is. But this young man deserves to be here. He deserves to have the family that he has, and he deserves everything that's coming towards him. Continue your growth. work on yourself, work hard on yourself, doing your job, you'll be fine. But I want to thank you guys for joining us here at Higher Power Tech Podcast. Last thing you want to close out?
Hey, make sure y'all like and subscribe. Right? It's a very important thing, man. Follow my guy here, okay? More content to come. I already know. The man's a genius. I love my big cousin. And I just appreciate the opportunity to come and share my story with y'all and to talk.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate you, man. Love you. And see you guys on the next episode. Talk to you shortly. Thank you.